Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. My guest today, Tuan, had a family emergency. So we are going to be opening the show. We are going to have open lines the entire hour. So if you would like to call in and chat with me, you're going to be able to do that. The telephone number is 888-627-6008. And we've got all kinds of things to share with you today. So everything from, how do I want to say, a sneak peek maybe for your summer horoscope, and also we're going to be sharing a recipe and some various things, so have a pad of paper and pen handy in case you'd like to copy it down. I wanted to start off the program today, and by the way, we are going to be rebooking Tron. You know, things come up in people's lives, and with the family emergency, I hope whoever it is affecting, that they're going to be all right, that they will be well. But we will be rebooking him during next month, so just know that that is going to be coming up. I wanted to share a thought with you at the beginning of the show because I really like this quote. It was by a man named William Matthews. This is what he said. One well-cultivated talent, deepened and enlarged, is worth 100 shallow faculty. The first law of success in this day when so many things are clamoring for attention is concentration. To bend all energies to one point and to go directly to that point, looking neither to the right nor to the left. And I read that and I thought, my goodness, how many of us get scattered? Boy, I know I do. I find that multitasking for me as an individual is so often the case. And how many times do we get distracted from what we know we need to focus on? Male, female, doesn't make any difference. We all do it. And I discover that when I can really be focused, when I can really pay attention to what needs to be done and make that my point of concentration, it's amazing how quickly things will come into play. So I think that William Matthews is right. If we focus on a strength that we have, if we know that our talents and something that we have a real passion for is what we give our attention to, we're going to get results. Now, that doesn't mean that we ignore the rest of life, but it means that we really give the energy where it belongs. And I know myself, I've done things, I've had so many things going on at the same time, and I get flustered, and I find, I'm not getting stuff done. And that's when I have to take a deep breath and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Today, I'm going to focus on this. And I learned that with to-do lists. I had a very good friend years ago. Maybe you're like me. Every day you have this little list that you start. I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do the other. And a very good friend of mine, Linda, many years ago, taught me something. Because she was one of these super women executives. And I would think, oh my goodness, this woman just achieves so much. I just admire what she has been able to accomplish. But what I didn't know is that she, too, had to learn how to not be scattered, how to really focus on what was most important. And she said she'd gotten to a point when she had her to-do list that she said, oh, I just have had it. I can't get anything done. She felt like she was a failure. So she said, she goes ahead and she makes out her to-do list. It's a good habit. But then she focuses on just 3 items on that to-do list. She said, if I get those items done, yes, I've accomplished things. I may or may not have the time to take care of other things. But she's, what she learned is that things started falling into place. And she said it was a tough thing for me to learn. But once I learned that, I focused, put my priorities into place, I realized the other thing somehow or another would come into positioning to be taken care of. And I have found that to be a very good piece of wisdom, so I shared with you today, because I think that it really is valuable. In today's world, I think so many times we're so busy being busy that we're not getting things done. Or we just are so exhausted that we feel like we're like little hamsters, you know, running on those little wheels. So maybe just as a tip, just a suggestion, do your to-do list, focus on maybe the top three things that absolutely must be taken care of. I've gone through enough situations in life, just like the gentleman who is going to be on the air with me today. Things come up. What is your focus? What is your priority? Obviously for him, which is a good thing, he said, it's my family. Absolutely. Would not want to stand in the way of that at all. So remember, keep your priorities straight. Focus on what you need to give your attention to. And you're going to find that you will be able to accomplish far more than you ever dreamed. And something that happens along the way, parts of yourself that you may think are weak will end up being strengths that support everything that you really want to give your attention to. Fascinating patterning. There is a wonderful story that I have about a horse that I am going to share, but I thought that I would share a thought also from Angelus Aaron, and she's the president of the Foundation for Cross-Cultural Education and Research. She speaks all over the world. She said, there are many perennial and indigenous wisdoms that say if we want to experience the blessing way in our family, in our work, and in our life, we must do three things every day. Number three is coming up frequently this morning. We must first pray every day or set a sacred intention. Two, give gratitude every day. This practice keeps the heart open. Three, take a life-affirming action every day through anonymous acts of kindness and generosity. Angela said, if we want to have the experience of feeling connected to our own center and to live the blessing way, we have to do these things every day in order to walk the mystical path with practical feet. Nice words. Good wisdom. Donna Siebel here. By the way, telephone lines are open, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me today, I would be delighted to do it. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, my guest had a family situation that came up. We are going to reschedule him at a later date, and phone lines are open for the entire hour. So if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a call at 888-627-6008. And as I mentioned, we're going to be talking later, or I'll be sharing with you a little bit of a horoscope for the summer months upcoming. But I thought I would share with you this story about Alaskan gold. Ah, yes. If ever you have a chance to visit Alaska, you're going to find in so many of the tourist shops gold nuggets that are put into jewelry and gold dust. It's part of Alaska's history, the run for gold that happened so many years ago. Well, it obviously, in the far north, was big news. Well, it was big news everywhere. It went around the world. On September the 9th, 1903, there was a newspaper called the Nome Nugget. They reported the discovery of a huge gold nugget. And this is how the headlines read. Found $3,285.90 nugget. Now, the real story about the discovery of this gold nugget didn't really appear until 1909. And it was in the Alaska Yukon magazine. It was called the Phantom Nugget. There were witnesses to this story. And when it came out, it really, really was gripping. Now, the people that were witness to this phantom nugget was Laugh Spray. He was a newspaper miner and a court official. Ike Powers, Frank Grimm, and James O'Brien. All of these men were miners. Now, the person that wrote the article, his name was A. Savardou. He said, the story of the vision may be substantiated by communicating with Mr. Grimm, who was the principal of Nome High School, and with Mr. Spray, who lives in Seattle. Now, this is the early 1900s. This is called the Golden Vision of Anvil Creek. The biggest gold nugget ever found in Alaska was taken from an Anvil Creek bench claim in 1903 by the then Pioneer Mining Company. Now, the claim was found by a man named Rock. Now, he died in 1900. His widow inherited the claim. She made an agreement with Frank Grimm and Ike Powers, saying that she'd give them one-half interest in the claim if they would work it, develop it. Well, that's what they did. They dug a ditch. They got to a spring. They were sluicing off the surface of the earth, and they started in one corner of the claim near a railroad track. One of the men that was employed was Leif Spray. Now, one day, the widow, Mrs. Powers, came out to the claim. She called Mr. Spray to her. He was busy working. Pointed to a certain spot, and she said, I want you to dig here. He wanted to know why. I mean, after all, these men were busy. A woman comes in. She's going to ask them to go and dig in a certain spot. She said, I want you to dig right where I tell you to dig. And he just sort of looked at her. And then he asked her why. She said that the previous day, when she was at home, she had a real strange experience. She'd had a vision. She saw herself standing on a depot platform of what was called the Wild Goose Railroad. And it was the place where she was standing at the moment she was talking to Mr. Spray. And in this vision, a strange man appeared. This man walked out to the spot that she was now showing Mr. Spray. And he stopped on that spot, turned on his heels, just like he was doing a military turn. And in the vision, went back to Mrs. Powers and asked her the question, did you notice where I stopped? And she said, yes. He said, well, under my feet at that point is a large nugget, and when this nugget is found, it will prove to be the largest nugget ever found in Alaska. Now, how do you think you would have responded if someone, you're out working on a gold mine, a woman walks up to you and says, I have this vision, dig here, and then gives you the rest of this story? Well, Mr. Spray, I'm sure, was just very, very perplexed over the whole thing. And in fact, he said, you know what? The ground is really, really hard. If Mr. Grimm and his partner find me digging where they have not asked me to dig, they're going to be pretty upset with me. I've got to go back to what I'm doing. Why don't you ask Ike to dig for it? And she said to him, well, the men just laughed at me. I wish it were a man. I would go and dig in this spot. Well, in 1901, Mrs. Rock sold her half of the claim to Jimmy O'Brien. Nobody listened to her. During the summer of 1902, the new owners, were taking out a lot of gold out of this mine. The following winter, O'Brien was working the claim. Now, if you've ever been up in Alaska, working in winter is not a fun thing to do. But he had an intention. His intention was to find Mrs. Powers' phantom nugget. He never did. In 1903, the Powers family, they had a lot of illness. Financially, they were in a very difficult space. They wanted to sell. And so the claim became the property of the Pioneer Mining Company, Well, they had the money, they had the equipment, so they started really mining big time. Now, the Powers family sailed for California, and a lot of friends went to see him off, and a few who'd heard about this vision laughingly asked Mrs. Powers if she was satisfied to go away and leave the nugget still sleeping in the cold, cold ground. People laughed at her. She said, laugh all you like, but remember what I say, that nugget will be turned up someday. Don't forget my words. Well, it was a few weeks after Mrs. Powers left, Mr. Spray came in to Nome. The whole town was just gabbing like crazy. And Nome had hit the big time. That's right. People were asking him, have you seen it? He'd say, seen what? They said, the nugget. It's as large as a loaf of bread, and it's worth more than $3,000. Well, when he heard about this, he remembered Mrs. Powers' vision. And he was curious to find out exactly where the nugget was found, and one of the miners showed him. It was exactly where Mrs. Powers had asked them to dig. Apparently, the previous winter, the partners had worked within 6 feet of the nugget. One more day's work would have brought all of these people and the Powers family fame and fortune. They just hadn't dug down far enough. That is the story of a famous gold nugget. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into, 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a little bit of nutritional information with you. So often we get so many comments about many things. And one of the foods that has been a mainstay of the American diet for a long, long time, but has been really given a bad rap, is meat. Now, I have to tell you, building on the Alaskan background, I was visiting with someone just a few days ago. In fact, we were sharing a meal together, who was born and raised in Alaska. And he said, I always had, we didn't call it meat, we called it game. So they would have bear meat, they would have caribou, they would have whatever meat they could get. Because at the time when this man was living in Alaska, and he's in his 80s now, you didn't have your Safeways, your Albertsons, your grocery stores, your 7-Elevens. You didn't have this convenience. You had to go out and you had to hunt for your own food. So he said, we never ever had meat as we know of it today in the grocery stores. It was always the game. Well, do you know, when you eat meat, there is a very important nutritional aspect that is involved. You get more protein. You get zinc. You get potassium, amino acids, depending on the type of meat, and B vitamins, believe it or not. And that lean beef accounts for about 15% of the nation's protein, but only about 4% of the total fat. Meat is something that really builds the body. It really helps. And I'll share with you a story that Farley Mowat wrote about. He had been up in the far north, and what he did was go out on a hunting expedition with the Inuits. The Inuits had a tradition when the caribou had their migration. Caribou migrate every year, herds and herds, huge herds, thousands and thousands of these animals. Well, that's part of their winter food, or was at the time. And so they had fish. They had done their salmon catches and all of that, but they said, we need to have the meat. And they went out on this hunt, and when they went out on the hunt, they were living, because the weather was getting pretty cold, they were living off of the fish that had been preserved by smoking and drying. Well, he said, the Inuits began to act a little strangely. They found that the nutrition of the salmon and the foods that they were carrying with them were not enough. And when they finally were able to locate the caribou, because the caribou migrate, you have to figure out where they're going. And you have to remember, these are men that are out there walking. There's no helicopters, none of this. They're out in the wilderness trying to find where the animals have gone in their migratory patterns. Well, by the time they finally found where the herds had migrated to, and they were able to kill a caribou, he said, our whole disposition changed, but they actually ate the meat raw. And he said their energy levels went up real high. And he said it was a big lesson for him regarding the nutrition and the value of the meat that was there. Now, game, you have to realize, is pretty lean. I have a friend that for years, when her husband would go out hunting, then they would bring the meat home and they would have to treat it. And your meat, your game meat, is extremely lean. It's extremely lean. In fact, sometimes they have to add fat back into it so that you can cook it, so that it tastes even better. So you look at these things and you find out about this, and there's a reason why that was done, because it did give energy to the body, and they were able to survive the cold, and they were able to do the work that they needed to do so that they could get back. So that is something Farley Moldwatt wrote about a long time ago. And I think many times we fail to realize there is a balance in life, especially when it comes to nutrition, and that no food really is good or bad. It depends on how the body utilizes it. And some people, depending on their blood type, do better with meat than others, like your O blood type. Others who have maybe an AB blood type may not be as inclined to utilize it as efficiently, so other foods will work better. So I just thought this was very good information to share with you. And if you go with your leaner meat, it has about the same amount of fat as a piece of skinless chicken breast. And the grass-fed meat, obviously, can be much more flavorful. And remember, you don't need to eat huge portions of it. A little bit of meat goes a long way. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like a chat at 888-627-6008. Well, your summer horoscope, this is what we've got going. You're going to give you a sneak peek. Now, I'm only going to do a couple of the signs this morning, so I'll start off with Pisces and Aquarius. Now, what does the summer months apparently have in store for you? You're going to be in your own place of serenity if you're born under the sign of Pisces. An inner calm seems to be with you. You have a very good attitude about yourself, about how to take care of yourself. You really want to enjoy a healthier lifestyle, and you're not going to let emotions that maybe have been twisting you and turning you in a certain way, maybe regrets. Well, you're not going to let those eat away at your life. You are going to be able to find a way to let go of the past and move forward with the now, which is very important. When it comes to money and success, you're really going to want to get involved in more creative venues. You're going to want to expand yourself. You're going to want to stretch yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And by the way, if you're interested in real estate, start educating yourself, because you may, for those of you under the sign of Pisces, have an opportunity to make an investment in real estate that could do very nicely for you, both on a financial basis as well as ensuring a level of security for your future. Finances are coming up, so don't be concerned. You're going to find yourself feeling really good about how you're making choices for money management. And don't give up on your dreams. You may want to be traveling, and I would say reach for the opportunity that is going to take you to a place you've never been before. Do homework. Go to your library. Check out those places that maybe fascinate you, that you would like to know more about. And you're going to find that you're going to be able to travel to a locale that you've never been to before, that's going to expand your world in a wonderful way. Now, that's for the sign of Pisces. For those of you under the sign of Aquarius, you are going to have a wonderful, wonderful summer. If you're looking for romance, well, don't be surprised if you find it. That's right. And you know what? You may have a chance to enjoy a vacation that's going to be absolutely memorable with not having to spend a whole bunch of money. So don't be surprised if a door of opportunity opens for you to go someplace, and for a very reasonable amount of money, you're going to have the time of your life. Wonderful memories created. Now, what about positions of work? What if you have wanted to be an entrepreneur? You're going to find that the people you associate with are going to enable you to see how you can reach the dream that you have in your mind. You're also going to have to learn about the practical side of running a business or being involved in business. Education is very important to you. So be aware, any investment that you're making in yourself right now, for those of you under the sign of Aquarius, you need to remember this is a long-term investment, and it is going to pay off for you in ways that you would never have imagined. So invest in yourself. Don't worry about going into business, per se, right now. Do your homework. If you need to take some classes, take some classes. Do what you need to do, but let's get that solid platform of knowledge, support, and information underneath you so you can stand firm and then build from there. And you know what? You've got someone very close to you that's going to be recognized for an achievement that they have well earned. So you are going to be so pleased with the way that your life is going to go, because you're going to feel as if whatever challenges you've gone through, those challenges have enabled you to become a much better person. This is Donna Sebo. My guest for today had to cancel the interview because of a situation with his family. Tomorrow, I'll share more horoscope signs for those of you listening. We'll go into Capricorn and Sagittarius tomorrow, and we'll continue for the rest of the week. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Lines are open. All I need is your first name or initial, and then after that, just know that I can give you some insight into what's going on in your life, and hey, then you can ask a question about anything or anyone that you're interested in. Telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. I wanted to let you know that there are going to be some absolutely awesome guests that are coming up on the show. I'll be giving you some information about that. Also, we'll be sharing a recipe with you, so be sure you have that pad of paper and pen handy. I wanted to share some very significant points, and this I'm only going to be able to share one with you this morning. I love the way people come up with ideas and concepts, and they will stay focused on trying to find an answer. And many times these groups of people will brainstorm with others until they can actually get everything together. Well, if any of you remember the story about Watson. Now, Watson is an IBM computer, and it was such big news. He won Jeopardy. He played the game of Jeopardy, beating some phenomenally talented people on that show. Well, look, Watson has all this capability to absorb gazillions of points of information. We human beings, too, can do the same thing, but we do it differently. Watson is going to be used in a very, very special way. Excuse me. He's going to be involved with a Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. What they're going to do is take Watson, input all kinds of information into him, massive amounts of information. It's coming from everywhere, textbooks, articles, and patient cases. Once they have all of this information in Watson, doctors are going to be able to ask a question in plain English and get a quick, relevant answer. Watson can scan 1 million books in less than 3 seconds. And they're going to test it for lung, breast, and prostate cancers by the end of 2012. Incredible stuff. Incredible stuff. Now, don't think it's going to get rid of doctors. No. You still need the skill of an experienced physician. However, resources of information are just going to be incredible. Star Trek, We're going where we never knew we could go before, and then some. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, let me tell you what I perceive, and you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that's pertinent to you. Well, I said I had a recipe that I wanted to share with you today. This is an antipasto tortellini salad. And antipastos are something that I grew up with, being of an Italian family. But this is a dish that you can make in about 30 minutes. And as we're coming into the warmer months, something like this is just delightful to serve when you have, you know, something special, like if you're serving steak or pork, but it's whatever, you are going to find that this is a nice complement. And this is a very good dish if you're going to be going to a potluck where everybody brings something that is really going to be different, then this is something that you can put together. It will be delicious, and I think you're going to find that it's absolutely refreshing to eat. Now, this is what you're going to need. You're going to need a package, about 20 ounces, of refrigerated cheese tortellini. Now, maybe you're one of these hearty souls that'll make up your own. I compliment you. But I don't know. A lot of us don't have the time to do this, and I'm one of those. So just go to your store and go to the refrigerated section, find those cheese tortellini. You're going to need a quarter of a cup of extra virgin olive oil, a quarter of a cup of the extra virgin olive oil. And the reason you want the extra virgin is because the flavor is not going to be real strong. If you like a stronger olive oil, go ahead and use it. But this is all so that the lighter version, the extra virgin, allows the flavors of the other ingredients to marry and you can taste them. It's really significant. You're going to need a quarter of a cup of champagne vinegar, two tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, two tablespoons of chopped fresh oregano, one clove of garlic, and you want to mince that extremely fine, a quarter of a teaspoon of salt and pepper, one can, 14 ounce of artichoke hearts, and you want those drained, and you want to cut them into quarters. One cup of grape tomatoes, one cup of sliced pepperoni, and one cup of cherry-sized mozzarella balls, that's about a half a pound, and a half a cup of pitted Kalamata olives. Now, if you don't like Kalamata olives, because some of us have preferences, you can try it with something else. But the Kalamata has a distinct flavor that really adds well to this dish. And then you need a half a cup of packed fresh basil leaves, and you want to roll them up tightly like you were making a little cigar, and you want to slice it extremely thin. Now, this is how easy it is. All you do is cook the tortellini according to whatever the directions are, and you drain them, and you rinse it under cold water, the tortellini, until it cools. And then, in a large bowl, you're going to whisk your oil with vinegar, lemon juice, oregano, garlic, salt, and pepper. That just takes a little bit of time. Add your tortellini and artichoke hearts, tomatoes, pepperoni, mozzarella balls, olives, and basil, and toss. That's it. It's all ready to go. And if you allow it to stay at room temperature, if you're going to be serving it in a while, well, you know, let's say to go into a potluck, you might want to stick it in the refrigerator, but it should be allowed to stay at a room temperature. If you put it in the refrigerator, let it come up to the room temperature so that the flavors are going to integrate. Now, you can use a different cheese. The mozzarella balls, you might want to have, you know, cubes of provolone cheese. And if you don't like pepperoni, use some kind of Italian salami. Now, this salad, you can do different things with it, whatever your taste preferences might be. But it's light, it's flavorful, with freshly baked, crusted bread. You are just going to absolutely find people really love it. And it's going to taste good. It's just absolutely, absolutely delicious. So that's antipasto tortellini salad. I have a wonderful story about a woman and her horse that I'm going to be sharing with you. But before I go there, we're in the time of year where the weather is absolutely lovely, although today in the Pacific Northwest, we wouldn't say that. It's windy, it's cold, and it's raining. Although the sun, I think, every once in a while tries to let us know that she's still there. We're out in our gardens and we're working. And here in the Pacific Northwest, there is a very, very strong awareness of toxicity. And we happened to be in an area where there was a plant at one time in the city of Tacoma called the Sarco. And sadly, because of that plant and because of a lack of regulation, a lot of arsenic was shot out into the atmosphere. And it landed and was absorbed by the land. And every once in a while, we'll see warnings on television, local television stations, saying, be sure you have your soil tested before you plant anything. If you want to put in a garden, have your soil tested because it may have high levels of arsenic in it. Well, of course, you don't want to put a garden in if you're going to have arsenic going into your food. That's not what you want. And it's very important that we pay attention to the soils of the environments that we live in. So we're very, very conscious of that. More and more people are finding that they're being affected by the environment that they're in. There's a gentleman, Paul Tukey. He's in his 50s. And he was a professional landscaper. And I use the word was. He had to give up his profession. He started to develop eye twitches, excruciating headaches, he got nauseous, got nosebleeds, diarrhea. His doctor, apparently, was a very savvy individual, and he asked him to bring in the labels of the chemicals that he used in his landscaping work. To his dismay, he found that the chemicals that he was using and had used for years were highly toxic. So he had to leave the profession because his body couldn't take it anymore. There are more than 80,000 chemicals that are used today. Many of us already know that. And a lot of these chemicals are used in the items that we put in our yards, our gardens. So we are finding we need to pay more attention to what we use. The reason being is that there are side effects. And I can tell you that one of our Scottish Terriers, Howie, ended up developing lymphoma because of poisonous chemicals that he was exposed to. And these were chemicals that were used to keep bugs at bay from around our house. And unknown to us, it didn't even cross our minds, even though we had been told by the chemical companies, it doesn't affect the animals. It does. And after we lost our Scottish Terrier, we found that many other people had similar stories to tell. where exterminators had come out to their house, the animals ended up developing very critical situations. One woman who had this beautiful collie, the dog hemorrhaged to death because they absorb little tiny amounts, and because they're so much smaller, it affects them much more rapidly. So here are a couple of points of information that I think are significant that I wanted to share with you. If you are wanting to fix your driveway, you know, there's the black coal tar sealant that some of my neighbors have used, and they're not aware of this. They look wonderful when they're finished, but they have found that they are filled with carcinogenic chemicals. They're called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbon. The abbreviation is PAHS, P-A-H-S. The concentration of PAHS is hundreds of times higher than those in other sources, such as exhaust smoke. There was a university, Baylor University, that did a study finding that house dust in apartment buildings next to coal tar-sealed parking lots contained 25 times as many PAHS as dust in buildings next to unsealed asphalt lots. 25 times. That's pretty significant. So they don't know how this can affect someone that's putting it on their driveway. So this is what they're suggesting. A lot of places have banned coal tar sealants, but no matter where you are, you can go with a natural pavement or an asphalt-based sealant. The further your home is from the source of coal tar sealant, the fewer chemicals will come into your home. And if you've already sealed off your driveway, let's say it's nice and warm, you've already done this. Well, you want to stay off of it as much as possible, especially during the first 2 weeks after it's been sealed. This is when the concentration is so intense, those first 2 weeks. Remove your shoes before you go into the door and regularly vacuum up whatever dust might be brought in. These are things that we do need to be aware of, and I think more and more people are paying attention to this. But there's another aspect, too. When this is used, do you hose down your driveway? Of course you do. This is something just about everybody does. How that is going to go into the water table. So much of what we use goes into the water table. So in the upcoming shows, there are going to be some natural things that I'm going to be sharing with you that works in harmony with the environment for gardening and dealing with pests so that you do not have a toxicity that is going to affect you, your family. So many things go on, and your pets. Like I said, I had firsthand experience with that. So I really would not want anyone else to go through what I've gone through and what I've known other people to have gone through. So being forewarned, being educated, all of that makes a difference. This is Donna Sebo. I do want to let you know that tomorrow my guest is going to be Rochelle Weisberger. Her book is titled Biblical Beauty. And what she has done, she's gone back into history, researching what was used by people of the past, both by men and women, and what we use today to make sure that we feel good, but not only that, look good at the same time. And, of course, on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Byron Totter about how to get thin, be happy. He's got six simple steps. And then Marilyn Fitzgerald is going to be my guest on Friday. If I had a water buffalo, this woman's story is fascinating. Why? Because she's going to be talking about how she's learned in working with people in third world environments. It's not always a good idea just to give them money. It's better to use some alternatives. Fascinating group of people that I have this week. I hope that you will be able to join me. Meanwhile, when we come back, I'm going to be sharing a story with you about a woman and her horse. We'll be back in just a moment. Donna Sebo, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008 if you'd like to chat. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. It has always been a very difficult challenge for me when I find that people are abusive. Whether it is to people, to animals, I don't care. It just has never been something I have been able to understand. Well, this is a story about a woman that felt the same way I do. That her life ended up taking her into a direction that she just embraces wholeheartedly, but never, never did she imagine it was going to occur. The woman's name is Cheryl, and she has always had a passion for animals, especially for horses. And the only pet she ever had when she was growing up was a little chihuahua. Well, that's you know, you have this little tiny thing and going to a big, big animal that weighs almost a ton or even a ton. That's quite a shift. But she would promise herself when she was growing up, because she loved horses so much, she said, one day I'm going to have one. One day I'm going to have one. Eventually, she gets married. No horse appeared in her life at all. She and her husband ended up buying a small farm that had some ponies on it. Well, as she had her children just loved these little ponies, and she was just happy as she could be. Her wish, her dream that she had had as a child, well, it had come true. These little ponies just made their lives very rich. However, Cheryl ended up having a neighbor that was very abusive to its animals. And this one horse by the name of Bebop always ended up on Cheryl's property. The family that owned the horse, when they would come over and get it from Cheryl, would beat the animal. Just beat it. Well, she just couldn't stand that. So she went over to them and said, I'll take the horse. I'll buy the horse from you. And they said, okay. Well, eventually the horse, after being on Cheryl's property and being owned by her for a while, was just absolutely as happy as it could be. And there was a little boy from a 4-H club that wanted a horse. And she found that the bond between the horse and the little boy was just wonderful, and so she gave the horse to this little boy. And she kept an eye on it, and by golly, the horse just thrived. He was in a very good environment. Cheryl began to read in her local papers in Florida about this racetrack that wasn't too far from where she lived, and that owners were abandoning horses that were injured. Those horses that didn't win races, they just dumped them. Well, that was not acceptable to her. So she started rescuing horses. She developed a nonprofit horse rescue, SaveTheHorses.org. org. And that's where the story really takes off. Family decided they wanted more space, and they wanted to have more room, obviously, for the animals that she was rescuing. They had a huge amount of acreage that they found. They found found a property that actually had more than one barn on it. And the word went out real fast. When they relocated to this larger parcel of property, calls started coming in. She got a call from someone that had cancer that couldn't take care of their horse. The person was dying. There was an animal control center volunteer that had found a mare that had been abused terribly. Cheryl said, come on, bring him over. One of the horses that was brought to her facility was called Trudy. Beautiful white Appaloosa. Absolutely gorgeous animal. This horse had actually been tortured. She had been tortured horribly. When she was brought on to Cheryl's property, if anyone, any human, took one step towards this horse would tremble so badly and arch its neck. It was in a horrific level of panic. Humans to this horse meant pain. Well, Cheryl, along with friends and family, said this animal needs to know that she's safe, that she's not going to be tortured anymore. So people volunteered. They patiently worked with this beautiful white Appaloosa. They would feed her by hand, and they would very, very carefully work with her. They were so gentle on all levels, and little by little, the horse began to trust the people that were around her. And then one day, the horse touched a volunteer with her nose, and they said, okay, the trust has been established. She said it was one of the biggest lessons for her that for all of the horrific ugliness that had been in this horse's life, that the horse forgave, that the horse was just absolutely wonderful to be around. They also had a horse called Bravo. It was a beautiful Shire that had a stripe like a white ribbon from the top of his mane to the tip of his nose. He was rescued from a slaughterhouse. He was huge. They called him a gentle giant. He was absolutely huge, and he would bend down to get pats from people. They had another horse, Quinn, a thoroughbred. He had an unusual skin condition. He couldn't sweat. Couldn't race because of that. But Dowie's used to work with children. One of the things that occurred with her nonprofit organization, SaveTheHorses.org, is that people started volunteering. They loved being in the environment of these magnificent animals that had been so abused. There even was a kid that looked like he was going to end up in prison. He was forced to work with the horses. It turned his whole life around because the horses made no judgment about him. To date, her organization has saved and rescued more than 2,000 animals. And this is what Cheryl said. She said, if you do good, it always comes back to you. All these horses want is unconditional love, and that's what they get here, lots of it. And that's what I get, hundreds of times over in return. I share this story with you because not only is what she's doing so significant, but it shows something very, very special about animals. I've seen it with dogs. I've seen it with cats. I've seen it with all kinds of creatures. They have a capacity to forgive. And when they have felt that they are in a safe place, they're transformed. We need to remember that as people, we have to transform ourselves by understanding that same thing. We need to forgive. We need to let go of what may ever have been in our lives that caused scars. Need to release it so that we can live a life filled with harmony and balance and with a sense that we can move forward in a very positive way. So I think Cheryl's story is a significant one. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. I hope you'll join me tomorrow to learn about what worked in the ancient world to make one look good and what works today. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.